You're listening to media from University Lutheran Church and Student Center. We are a multi-generational, Jesus-centered community of Scripture, faith, and grace located in Tallahassee, Florida, on the campus of Florida State University. To learn more and to get connected to other resources, please visit universitylutheranchurch.org. We hope that the next few moments are a time when God speaks into your life by the power of His Holy Spirit about His Son, Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Three in One, who comes in order to open up our hearts so that He may put joy into them. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, if you look at the front of your bulletin, you'll notice that it says, spark joy. Now, that phrase by itself is something that you probably feel like, okay, if I'm just walking around Target, I would probably see that emblazoned on some kind of ugly Christmas sweater or some little doodad that's there getting people ready for Christmas. You know, it sounds very, very kind of Christmassy to spark joy. It sounds like it's something that makes us think, oh, well, joy is coming. You know, that joy candle is the third Sunday in Advent, and we love that one because it's so joyful, and we're looking forward to Christmas. We're starting to think about what it means to be joyful. And yet, there's maybe something about that phrase that sort of rings a little bit familiar, and you're not quite sure where you maybe have heard it before. And where you may have heard it before is this Japanese lady named Marie Kondo. Now, this Japanese lady named Marie Kondo, she became very, very popular for a book that she wrote in 2010 called The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up. And in The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up, what she encourages you to do in your house is to go through your house and to pick up items. And to pick up certain items in your house and to look at them. And to ask you this question, does this spark joy? And the question then becomes, okay, well, if this sparks joy, then at that point, then you would keep it. You would keep the thing that is sparking joy. But if this thing does not spark joy, well, then what you're supposed to do is you're supposed to take it and you're supposed to put it in a bin that is then going to be either sent to the dump or sent to Goodwill or sent to someplace other than your house. Because that then is going to be the life-changing magic of tidying up. That all of a sudden you're going to experience these feelings of euphoria that you've never experienced before because all of a sudden you don't have as much junk in your house. She became very popular for this book and for what she's doing. She had a TV show. She had all sorts of things. And she had a whole bunch of people in our culture walking through their house and asking themselves, does this spark joy? And if it didn't, then they would say, well, it's been great knowing you. Thank you for the service that you've offered me, but I'm going to give you away to somebody who can use you better, like the trash man. And there's kind of that sense of, okay, well, is that what sparking joy is? Well, that's kind of what Advent is. Advent is this season that is a penitential season. So it's like a mini Lent. And we don't oftentimes get that sense of what Advent is, because Advent, we just sort of see it as this kind of ramping up to Christmas. We start, unpacking Advent calendars. We start enjoying the chocolate or whatever is inside of those Advent calendars. We have all of this sort of Advent stuff that isn't about getting ready for anything, really. But Advent is supposed to be this time of sort of reflection on ourselves. Reflecting on ourselves and reflecting on why we even need a Christmas. Why we need a Son of God to leave the
beautiful community of the Holy Trinity in order to come into our story, to be in our flesh, to be here to teach us, and then to die and to rise again. And the reason for that, most of the time, is because we filled up our lives with stuff that isn't God. Because we've filled up our lives with stuff that doesn't measure up to Him. That's what the Old Testament readings today are all about. Each of the Old Testament readings, so that one from Isaiah and then also the Psalm, each of these are written around the time that Judah is getting done with the exile. They've been in exile in Babylon for about 70 years now. They know that they've done wrong. They know that they've sinned against God. They know that even their righteous deeds are not worthy of being considered good things, but rather they are like filthy rags. They know that they have been in exile for a while, but now there's something turning, and they're looking forward to being invited back into their nation state of Israel. They're looking forward to the king of Persia allowing them to go back to a place like Jerusalem. They're looking forward to being able to rebuild the temple. They're looking forward to this time when things are going to be restored, where things are going to be good again. Things are going to be so good that it's going to be better than what they've ever experienced. That they can only rely on the stories that their parents and their grandparents maybe told them of what it was like to live in that time. Because all of the people at this juncture are people that have been born in Babylon. And they're looking back to this great moment where they're going to be re-invited, reinvigorated into this beautiful time that they can celebrate in. But they're approaching it with a little bit of hesitancy because they know who they are, and they know who their parents were, and they know who their grandparents were, and they know that those people have been sinners. They know that they have been in exile for a reason. And the reason that they were sent into exile is very clear. If you just look at the warnings that the prophets gave to the people of Israel before they were sent off into exile, their problem was that they were filling up their lives with things that were other than God. Maybe even good things. Maybe even things that everybody would look around and they would say, oh, okay, well, you know, that's fine. But they were filling them up so much with those things that what they were doing were they were crowding God out of their lives. Crowding God out of their lives in their families, crowding God out of their lives in their vocations, crowding God out of their lives in even their worship. And so we get to a season of Advent and we start to ask ourselves a question about where we have been crowding God out of our lives. Where have we put things in God's place? Where are things so cluttered in our lives that Jesus Himself couldn't find a place to sit down in our souls? And as we think about that, we think about how great it would be, how much joy it might spark if we were able to just have a little bit of space for Him. To have a little bit of space for God to move and to operate in our lives. How great would it be if we could just clear off a little bit of that space in our minds or in our lives, in our schedules or in the things that we think about. How much joy would it spark to be able to clear out a space for him? I think it might clear out quite a bit. And I think what he does in our lives is he actually gets us there. He actually gets us to a place where he goes, well, you're not going to clear this out yourself. Because you are likely not going to be somebody who is on Marie Kondo's TV show. You are much more likely on somebody else's TV show, a TV show called Hoarders. And so God says, okay, I'm going to come in and we're going to clean some house. We're going to do some crazy stuff. We're going to clean some house. And that's what he does to the disciples in this gospel reading. In this crazy gospel reading that at first seems like it's all about this great moment of Jesus coming into Jerusalem and he's riding in on a donkey and everybody's saying Hosanna. But most of the story is not that. That's sort of what's appended on to the story so that you know what's going on. Instead, most of what the story is that Jesus goes to two of his disciples, two of the unlucky ones, who don't even want their name in the story. They've told Mark, don't put my name in there. And Jesus goes to them and he says, hey, I've got a great idea. I tell you what, I'm going into Jerusalem. I need a colt that nobody has ever ridden. I know where you're going to be able to find one. Go into town. I want you to go into town, and I want you to walk up to a colt that nobody has ever ridden, and I want you to untie it. After you untie it, if anybody says to you, hey, what you doing? Then I want you to say to them, the Lord has need of it, and he'll bring it right back. And the disciples are hearing this, and the disciples, I'm sure, are like, what? Huh? Because to us, we're like, oh yeah, of course, that's how the Bible works, right? You know, that's the story. We're used to this story. But think about being in their position for a moment. For a moment, they're like, let me get this straight, Jesus. You want me and this guy to go and steal a donkey. This isn't going to turn out well. And I don't care what you say about, oh, well, if somebody asks you what you're doing, just tell them that I sent you. I don't think that's going to work, Jesus. And yet they do it. Yet they kind of make some space for Jesus. They make some space for Jesus and this crazy thing that he's leading them into. That space does not exist before they go on this little trip. And yet they go on this little trip. And they go and they do this crazy thing that Jesus has told them to do. So they go and they're like, all right, we're two horse thieves. Here we are. And they see the colt and they're like, oh man, I really wish that the colt wasn't there. I wish that Jesus didn't know what he was talking about. But oh, geez, Jesus, there it is. And they go and they start to untie the colt. And sure enough, they're like, okay, nobody has seen us. Nobody said anything. We don't have to use that corny line that Jesus gave us. And then all of a sudden, some people see him, and they're like, hey, what's up? And they go, oh, well, Jesus told us to do this. We'll bring it right back. And they're like, we've got to be ready to run. And then the person says, okay, yeah, that's fine. Go ahead. And they're like, okay, all right, here we go. Let's bring the donkey back to Jesus. And so they bring the colt, the donkey, back to Jesus. And there they see that Jesus has been doing crazy stuff in other people's lives as well. He's been getting them to do some nutty things. Like they've been going over to palm tree branches and cutting them down and then been taking their own clothes and they've been getting them ready for this great parade that is going to happen. And so he's made some room in their lives. He's made some room in the lives of the people that have been cutting down the branches. He's made some room in the lives of the people that are giving up their clothes for this colt to walk on. He's made some room in their lives, asking them to do crazy things. And he's making room in your life by asking you to do some crazy things. to do some crazy things like love each other and forgive one another and live righteous lives, even though you know that you can never fulfill that. He's asking you to do some crazy things like see the dignity in other people, like to live as if you were somebody who other people could look up to, even though you know deep down inside you're not. He's asking you to do these crazy things and to make space in your life for him, so that when we all come back together, and we all come back together and we see the donkey and we see the palm branches and we see the clothes, that then we're gathered around Jesus together and we say, Hosanna. Hosanna. A word that means save us. Because that's the effect of when Jesus asks us to go and do crazy things. It's that we find out that we're not real great at doing crazy things. That when we follow his word, we find not that we have less need of him, but that we have more need of him. That when we follow his word, we find out that when we follow what he has asked us to do, that he's made space in our hearts for him, but that space is not a static space. That space is not a space that just says, oh, well, you've made a little bit of space for me on the couch. Thank you very much. But instead, it's a space that grows and grows and grows. A space that then leads us to recognize that we need him because he is our Savior. And that's why we gather around him in this great Advent parade, making space in our lives to recognize who he is. Because who he is our Savior. Who he is the only Son of God who was born into our world, so that God could insert himself into the mess of our cluttered lives as human beings and to make some space for himself. And in making space for himself, make space for us, so that we too may have joy in the space that he's made for us. So as you go into this week, may you make some space for Jesus by following his word, by following the leading of his Holy Spirit. And as you make that space and find him in the midst of it, may it spark joy in you. For you have found your Savior all over again. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this media from University Lutheran Church and Student Center. To learn more and to get connected to other resources, please visit universitylutheranchurch.org. If you would like to financially support more media from University Lutheran, please visit our website and click the Give Now button, which will enable you to engage in the Christian discipline of giving tithes and offerings to God through his church. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift up his face upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.